Today we begin a new series of conversations that we're calling Getting Real with Your Helpers. Now, it may seem like an odd thing to have the phrase getting real in combination with the idea of your helpers, because after all, the reality that you're inhabiting is not real. We call it a reality because that's the common use kind of phrase that is used to describe where you are. The physical reality you're manifesting, where your body sits at the center, where you have the feedback of the things that you're manifesting in this wonderful, delicious loop, whereby you get to see things you imagined before, and you get to hear things you imagined before, and you get to touch and taste and smell things that you imagined before, and these things come to life for the very specific purpose of the delight of their being present and of your being with these things, people, situations, circumstances, conditions, qualities, etc. There's nothing real about this. This is a holographic universe. You've convinced yourself of its reality, and we're not really here to question that or to say that you should deny it. We just want to remind you that when you bind yourself to the ineffability of the reality of this so-called reality, it can be a little painful, and it need not be. Now, your helpers are a group of non-physical friends. Now, we're going to talk about your helpers in two or three different ways, because everyone everywhere and everything in every way is helping you. There's no question. But your helpers in these terms, we're talking about your non-physical friends, eternal in nature, as are you. They know you better than anyone else other than you. And they are helping you have this astonishing, amazing, dynamic physical experience. As a reminder, you're manifesting consistency and permanency, along with a whole bunch of other qualities, and you're doing it masterfully. And you have help. You have help in the form of your helpers. They help you have this utterly unrealistic, completely moving against the truth of who you are idea of consistency and permanency. You're a dynamic being of light in truth, becoming more and more of yourself each and every moment. And in ways that are really, truly powerful and quite amazing, you have taken the time to manifest this reality that you're sitting in the middle of having. And you've made it possible to believe that it's real and permanent, that it's static. And that's no small feat. It is happening because of the help of your helpers. Now, the interesting thing about how your helpers are helping you with this is that you would consider this kind of help to be almost non-existent, to be almost nothing. Your helpers are helping you with this in that they agree with how you believe your reality is. That's it. That's all they're doing. We've given you an image before of imagining that your body, if you extend your arms out on either side and you stand up and then you turn around in a circle, that's as big as your extant physical reality actually is. The images you see beyond the reach of your hands, beyond the reach of your toes and the top of your head, they're just images. The sounds you hear are sound waves hitting your eardrums, but they're near, they're not coming from far. Now, for most people, this seems like it's just too crazy, just too weird. Like, that can't possibly be the case. It can't just be that this room is the only thing that there is. And we're saying, well, actually, the room is not even really the room that you think it is. If you can't reach over and touch it, it's not tactically real. So the table, the far side of the table, is sitting there in potential. The near side that you can touch and feel the smoothness of under your fingers, that has a tactile sensation that it's offering you. But even then, it's still in potential because the fingers that you're using to touch with it are not real the way you think they are. The reason why we talk about this is that, again, if you stand and you were to extend your arms out all the way and turn in a circle, like a helicopter, that's as big as your reality actually is. And just beyond the reach of your fingers stand your helpers. Now, they do not stand, nor do they sit, nor do they fly, nor do they crawl. They don't have bodies any more than we have bodies. But they are just beyond your reach. And they're holding the space for you to have the pretense of the few seconds to minutes that you spend in the physical reality that you're inhabiting right now, so that you can have it. That's their primary function. From your perspective, that doesn't seem like much. If somebody comes along and says, hey, would you believe in me? And just say, like, I know what I'm doing. And you would say, oh, sure, of course, whatever. But you don't really have a functional way to do that. You could spend a moment or two imagining, if your friend came and said, would you imagine me standing at the top of Mount Everest next Tuesday at about 4 p.m? And you could imagine you're watching, and you look at your watch and it says 4 p.m. and you see them standing at the top of Mount Everest for whatever reason, all bundled up, maybe holding their walking stick up in the air, waving it right before they reach down and grab another gulp of oxygen that they brought with them. And that's fun and that's nice, but it doesn't seem like much. You don't have a muscle called hold an image for another person. In fact, if you were to try to develop that, you would interfere with the thing that they're actually wanting. Now, you can't really do that, but if you were to try to, you would actually start getting in the way, because you still, no matter how much you adore your friend, no matter how much you want them to have what they want, you are still grinding an axe that has nothing to do with them. What makes your helpers different than the way you perceive yourself through your personality and name and the body you're using to identify yourself as self? Your helpers are not selves, they're helpers. What distinguishes you from your helpers and from your current moment perspective is that your helpers do not have an axe to grind. They really do want exactly what it is that you want for yourself. They don't know what that is. And that's the difference. Because your friend says, I'm going to go stand on the top of Mount Everest. You've likely never been there, but you've seen pictures. You have a general idea of where it is, that it's the highest point that one can stand on the surface of the planet without actually falling off. And that it's high up in the air, and that likely, unless your friend has powers you are not aware of, they're probably going to take an oxygen tank with them because it's kind of thin up there. And it's cold and it's bright and it's covered in snow and it's windy. That's about it. You might have been there once. Maybe you were there twice, but you're not there right now. And you imagining them, you have to attach ideas about what you perceive Mount Everest to be in order to be helpful to them. Your helpers, however, are helpful to you where they have no idea nor any desire to know in any specific way, since specificity doesn't mean anything to them. They have no desire to know specifically what you're doing, and they can't really comprehend it. They know how you feel, which, again, because you're spinning the axe, you're grinding the axe of physicality, feelings kind of fade into the background. And as much as you may be aware of the fact that you are indeed a vibrational being and that feelings are the reason why you have what you have and the reason why what is happening, just because that is the case doesn't mean that there's anything going on here other than just you simply having what you're wanting. Again, just simply having what you're wanting. Now, from your perspective, that seems like a big deal. But in truth, it's not a big deal at all. And in fact, in truth, it's not a deal at all. Your helpers help you in a very general way. And getting real with your helpers, the topic of this particular series, is to begin to actively bring them to the table. Energetically, not physically. Now, you're capable of assigning physical values to your helpers and saying that when I'm aware of them, or when I'm in their presence, or when they're in my presence, however you want to frame it, because it's the same essentially, this is what my body feels like. I feel a shiver, or I feel my skin get pebbly, like I'm getting goosebumps. And that's fine. You can make it even more specific than that. You can begin to, and we don't mean this rudely, we're not being dismissive, you can begin to hallucinate images of them. But you will not see an image of them that they're projecting, because they don't project images. They don't know what that would mean. What they do know, and what you know from where you are, is that the thing you're having right at this moment, right here and right now, that's exactly right, that's happening in ways that are perfect for you, something powerful is occurring. Something wonderful is occurring. And you're in the middle of that. And that's what's happening. They know this as well as you know this. In fact, they may know this better than you know it. Getting real with your helpers means invoking them, calling them, asking for their help, but not asking from a supplication perspective, but asking specifically, directing, if you could even say demanding, that they help you. And we really do recommend that you look at it this way. Something wonderful and something delicious and something delightful is happening always, at all times, in all ways, in all moments. This is always occurring. It's never not happening. So as you think about this, as you contemplate it, we'll start off by talking about who your helpers are. We've discussed this already. We've discussed it here in this conversation. We've discussed it before. But we know that when we talk about who your helpers really are, it's like we're presenting you with a glass of water and saying, what does this taste like? The reason for that is because, like water, your helpers are unconditional love. Unconditional love. No conditions. So if you come to us and you say, well, my helpers told me that I need to do this, we would say, we're not quite certain that we're your helpers. They might be saying it might be a good idea or it could help you, but they're not going to be telling you what you should be doing or how you should be doing it. In the same way that you can awake from a dream and you don't really remember everything that happened, but the things you do remember kind of fall into this particular venue. And like many of you have come to us before and said, I had a nightmare. What does this mean? And we said, well, are you really sure it was a nightmare? Or is it just something that when you awoke, it occurred to you that that's actually what that means and that's how to interpret it. And it doesn't feel very good, but you think that's what's real and that's okay. You can have very personalized conversations with your helpers. It's up to you to decide. But one thing we would invite you to remember, that their unconditional love and the adoration that they have for you is endless in a way that you really will truly never understand. you will never understand how endless the love they have for you is. In the same way that you will never really understand how endless the love the chair that you're sitting on has for you. How unconditional it is. How it's not bound to anything. And it's certainly not at all having anything to do with your behavior or your belief about yourself or even your belief about the chair or your helpers. So, in getting real with your helpers, one of the things that we're recommending is that you begin to turn over things to them that you think you're in charge of. And we're not suggesting you do this with things blatantly or without regard for what you actually have a desire for. There are things you do that you want to be doing. In the way that we talked about the fact that you will take things out of the stream of default manifesting specifically to play with them, there's nothing wrong with that. But your helpers can sort everything out for you. You don't ever have to sort anything out. Now, you're probably going to. And this is not a call to get it right, because that's impossible. You're never going to get it right, because, of course, you never get it wrong. You're always going to do it exactly right. Your helpers are talking to you. They're communicating with you. You're giving them language, because they don't speak English or whatever language it is that you think in. They don't have language, because they don't have form. But they're very real, and you can feel their presence. It's subtle, like with most things metaphysical. It's not big, huge, triumphant with big trumpets and loud banging drums and exploding fireworks and champagne bottles popping everywhere. It's subtle and quiet. It's different than you, but not much different than you. That's why it feels subtle. Your helpers are helping you have what you're having. One of the things we've suggested in the past when we've discussed this topic is that you walk around saying, my helpers help me with this, my helpers are helping me with this, my helpers are helping me with this. Like, as you walk down the sidewalk and you see a flower that you like, or you see a tree that you like, my helpers are making it possible for me to see this. Or a dog comes by and you just think, well, that's a really cute dog. My helpers made that possible. My helpers are making the sidewalk possible. My helpers are making the blue sky possible. My helpers are making the clouds possible. Your helpers are helping you with everything. Everything. The specifics are up to you. What you do with it is up to you. But when you find yourself in a bind, we bring attention to our favorite story about helpers and how they help. When you find yourself in a bind, they can't help you by unbinding it or fixing anything. So part of getting real with your helpers is getting real with your imagination. The story we love the most that illustrates this the best is one that Frank read many years ago in a book. Two girls, teenagers, thought it would be fun to break into the school in the middle of the night. So they did, because they wanted to walk around and see what was to be seen in the dark, for whatever particular reason. Having done so, they turned their attention down one hallway and then suddenly realized that the night watchman, the security guard, was making his rounds. And they found themselves kind of at a place where they could not get away. So they squeezed up against the wall, and one of the girls said to her helpers, "We're invisible, we're invisible, we're invisible, we're invisible." And the guard came around the corner with his flashlight flashing. It passed right over them, and he kept going. Made no recognition of their presence, just kept going. Now, you could say, well, maybe he saw them and just thought, well, I know who those girls are. This is too much trouble. I had too much paperwork to write up. I don't want to have to deal with this shit. I'll just keep going and they'll leave. Perhaps, and that itself would be an help from helpers, that the guard became a friendly force, a cooperative component, and just kept moving, and the girls quickly made their way outside and back to their warm beds. Or it could be that they literally were invisible to this man. Either way, there was no supplication. There was direction. There was no begging. There was direction. That's where you get real with your helpers. If you have trained yourself to believe and have been convinced by other well-meaning folks that your job is to pray to an entity or deity above your head, to angels who will descend from up beyond a celestial place and make their presence known to you because you've decided to be a really good person, then this isn't going to make a lot of sense. But here we're reminding you to get real with your helpers, because you're doing reality. You're the one who's doing the reality dance, and your helpers are helping you. They're helping you have it. You're the one who knows about the specifics, what the colors are, what the sounds are, what the flavors are, what the aromas are, what the textures are. They don't know any of this. They cannot see what you see. But when you turn to them and you say, either help me with this or do this, and you stand back and let them do their thing, they will. So here's one other thing to consider, something we've never said before. But when you, let's say you look at a rose, and you, let's say you are holding a rose in your hand, a rose that has been cut from a bush, and you're holding it a little gingerly because there's one thorn and there's another thorn and there's another thorn. But you take the rose, you're seeing the vibrant red color. You take the rose, you bring it closer to your face. Maybe you rub the edges of the petals against your skin because it's very soft and velvety. And as you're doing so, you smell the rose. Roses are edible. You could take a bite of one of the leaves of the bloom of the flower, one of its petals. You can have a full-on physical experience with every single one of your senses engaged. Now, as you're playing with the rose and you're smelling it and you're feeling it and you're enjoying it, what ends up happening is you start having a very specific vibrational experience. Not one that requires any intervention on your part, one that is really simple and really obvious. Now, your helpers can help you amplify this. They're not going to know this is what aroma is, this is what the flavor is, this is what the softness of the petal on the skin is, this is what the gingerness of like holding the stem to be a little cautious about the thorns. They don't know anything about that. But what they do know is that there's a vibrational pattern that you've set up, actually quite a while ago, likely, with a rose. Now, we just said this thing about the rose, and you could be holding a rose and smelling a rose. We don't know anything about a rose either. What's happening here is you're using Frank and yourself and us to bring this idea to life. You can make it look like your helpers know exactly, just in the same way that you do with us, you can make it look like your helpers know exactly what the hell you're talking about and what you're putting your attention on and what the heck you're doing. But they don't. They do not. But you can make it look that way. The way they interact with you is vibrationally. You're the one who does all the interpretation. You're the one who assigns language. You're the one who assigns the passage of time. And if you think this is a really big deal and this is going to take a lot of work, what you will experience as you're manifesting your reality is that things will take a lot of work and will be a big deal and will take a lot of time. But if you just say this is really easy and simple, your helpers will agree with you. And they'll amplify whatever it is that you're directing your energy. This is already happening. This is already happening. The things that you've taken out of the default stream of manifesting, the intentional things that you're working with where you've said, no, me and me alone, I and only I will do this. Your helpers are like, oh, okay. And they back up. But you can bring them in and say, I'm tired of dealing with this shit. You handle this for me. And if you let them, they will. And you might find them asking you questions in the same way that you might find us asking you questions, where we want to know a little bit more. And it's not because we are interested in the data. We're looking for the vibrational pattern, not the pattern of what has gone wrong, not the pattern in that psychological, we need to figure out the pattern and fix it, not that kind of pattern. The vibrational pattern of alignment. When we say to you, you're lying to us, or when we say to you, when you said that, you were not in alignment with what you were thinking, that's what we're talking about. We could tell because there's a vibrational tone of when you speak, and it's not the pattern of your speech, it's how you hear the words coming out of your mouth. That's what we're looking at. That's only because we spend an awful lot of time interacting with our physical friends that we know these things. Your helpers have not spent a lot of time, undoubtedly. There may be some exceptions among those with whom we are speaking, but your helpers, you've not given them the permission to spend a lot of time with you because you've kept them off at a distance. Now, that's not because you were pushing them away. It's because it didn't occur to you, perhaps, that you could have this kind of help. Now, obviously, it did occur to you. You would not be able to hear these words and understand them if that was not the case. So you're in alignment with this. However you got here doesn't matter. And you can train your helpers just as you've trained us. Just as you've trained us to figure out what this means about you. Not in a way that you would be able to translate to someone else and say, like you would over a cup of coffee, like this is what happened and this is how it occurred and this is, and there's all these little subtle shortcut ways of talking about things where you don't actually explain it, but everybody understands generally what you're talking about because of the way you're using language or nonverbal cues. Your helpers have no access to this data. They can only see where you are. And when you, by the way, are saying, this is horrible and terrible and this isn't right for me, you're far away, not really far away, a better way of putting it is as though you're shrouded in fog. The whatever it is that you're looking at is not clear to your helpers. That's why the sharpness of contrast can be very powerful for this particular reason. Not only for yourself, because instead of obscuring it, you allow it to come into sharp focus. But also, if you bring your helpers into the table and you actually are sitting there with the sharpness and the intensity of the contrast, they can see what you're doing vibrationally. Because you can obscure, you can absolutely obscure what it is that you're really doing. Now, what we've been doing here in today's conversation is just dropping little hints of ideas of the things that we'll be talking about as we continue. One thing we would not recommend you do today is to bring to us questions where you're attempting to get all your answers brought to the table. What we would recommend instead is that you listen and let this rise up to meet you. The final thing we'll say is that if you think you've never met your helpers, we're going to walk you through that, not as a process, because we don't, in this particular series of conversations, we do not want you to go, we want you to stay as conscious and as present with us as you can. We don't want you to go into a meditative state. You can, if you want to, feel free. If you want to sleep, if you want to nap, while we talk, that's perfectly fine. But this is about getting real with your helpers, not reaching out, but staying where you are and letting them come in. If you do not know who your helpers are, that's fine. If you are thinking about your helpers in a way that is more specific than anything than we have said, when you talk with us about them and you say, this one is a cowboy and this one lived in the 3rd century CE, and this person, da 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 da. Okay, those are all very interesting things. They're not going to be relevant to anything we're saying. You can bring that data to the table if you want to. But if you're thinking, I should know who my helpers are, and you don't, just give them a name. My helper Bob. My helper John. My helper Denise. My helper Methuselah. Just give them a name. It doesn't matter. Names are for you, not for us. Names have no meaning to us. Names are shortcuts. You have helpers. And even if you don't think you feel them, you have them. And if you are thinking, well, I don't really know them, I don't know where they are, I don't know how to find them, start saying, my helpers are helping me now, and my helpers are making themselves clearly present to me. To start using your ability to direct your reality and to affirm it by saying, I know who my helpers are, I know what they're doing, I can feel their presence, anything like that. The point here is not to talk about the possibilities and potentialities. The point here is to get real with your helpers, to bring to the table the very specific things you're wanting that you've been playing with in your intentional manifesting, that you want to have in tangible form, and get them on the job. The ways in which you feel bound up to tell them, I've been trying to manage these things and I'm not going to manage them anymore. You sort all this out and hand it over to them. And it's as simple as just imagining you put a pile of papers on somebody's desk and you said, here you go. I'm off on vacation. And you leave and walk out of the office with the door slamming behind you and let them sort it out for you. So here we're giving you little tantalizing possibilities of what you can do. What we invite you to do through the series is to bring questions to the table that are specific to what you're wanting. If you want to ask us about your helpers, feel free, but we will go ahead and tell you in advance. If you're going to tell us about Methuselah, was it in the 3rd century, whenever, and was involved in this, that's all very interesting, but it's not relevant to what we're doing here and what we're inviting you to do here, which is to actually get real with your helpers and begin to use them for the very thing that they're here to help you with, which is to have what it is that you're wanting. So with that, we'll leave this conversation knowing that as wonderful and as amazing and as powerful and as delightful and as delicious as all of this is, it's only getting better and better and better and better from here.